great to be here. Great to be back. Great to see old faces and new faces alike. And thank you for our servants, those who serve every day out there on the front lines, through our military, our police, our firemen, EMTs, and paramedics, and doctors and nurses, and all of those who serve us on a daily basis, and those who are in government, that we thank you for being here, and we thank you for all who have served. And it's a privilege to be here, and my family is with me, and so we're excited about that. Do pray for our church. And as we are up here, we are definitely praying for them down in Fishers. If you would turn to 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we'll turn to one verse, a familiar verse to many of us. And if we would stand in honor of God's word, I want to bring a message to you that might be something a little bit different, but I want you to really, I've titled this message, Think War and Prepare for Battle. Think war and prepare for battle. Let's look at verse 14 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 as we stand in honor of God's word. And thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here. And my family, you've been so gracious, and we thank you so much. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's read this all together as one. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for our country. We thank you for America. And Lord, we thank you that it's the men and women who have gone before us, who've labored, who have sacrificed, that we might appreciate the liberties and the freedoms that we have. Thank you that we have been brought up in a country where we can hear the gospel freely, where it's not repressed, it's not illegal. But Lord, we have a place where we can freely and openly worship you as you've called us to do. But there's a battle raging, Lord. And I believe that without a doubt that this battle is coming closer and closer, that this war has already begun, and we've seen it tearing at the very fabric of the soul of our country. And Lord, I pray that as your people, Lord, that we would be those who would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that, Lord, our land would be healed. Father, I pray now that you would speak through me. Give me the words to say. We thank you that we have the victory, and the victory is already won through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being here. Father, I pray that you would bless, guide, and direct, and we thank you and praise you for all of these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in Psalm 133:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible makes it clear that God deals with nations as well as individuals. And God's established three institutions. He's established the home, he's established the church, and he's established the nations. And God has used those things, and they're all interdependent. In fact, the psalmist said in 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Except the Lord build a house, except the Lord build a nation, we labor in vain. And I praise the Lord that over 240 years ago now that we celebrate a birth of a nation. And that nation has served the Lord, a nation that was built upon the foundations. And it was here that we find that even as Joshua said, except, he says that if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord as we celebrate 240 years of America's freedom. And you know, and it seems like only yesterday that it was 200 years ago we celebrated the bicentennial. But now we come and, you know, I can't get over how great America is. I love America. I love that, and I praise God every day that I was born in America. Well, I had the privilege to be raised in a country where that we could enjoy the freedom of speech and freedom of religion to choose how we would want to serve God and choose without any fear of oppression and fear of retaliation. And I love where I was brought up. I'm glad that I served my country. For 28 years, I had the privilege to serve my country for about 10 years on active and 18 years in the reserve. The Lord allowed me to serve my country. But each and every one of us has a duty to serve this country, amen? And each and every one of us, as we think about what God has given us and how this nation was birthed, but the problem is we live in America where I find something that's very disturbing. And that is this ignorance and this apathy that we see going on today. A roving reporter came to a man and on the street and he asked, he said, do you know what the two biggest problems in America are? The man said, I don't know and I don't care. And the reporter said, you named them both. Because the problem is we live in a country that ignorance is rampant on the streets of where we came from and how we were founded. And then there's an apathy that's going around that really begins to shake me. And really, as I begin to look around, I'm scared for what I'm seeing that's happening. Because people are ignorant of the principles of what we've been established. Even our president would say, we're not a Christian nation. And maybe as we go and as we march forward, and that's becoming less and less. But let me just say this. We were established as a Christian nation. There's no doubt about that. Our founding fathers made it abundantly clear. And we're the only nation on earth ever built upon the Christian faith and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. President George Washington said, it would be impossible to govern rightly without God and the Bible. President John Adams said it would be impossible to govern without God and the Ten Commandments. In fact, if you walk into the nation's capital and you walk into the Supreme Court where they would even want to ban the Ten Commandments, you know what are on the doors of that Supreme Court? The Ten Commandments. This nation was built upon Judeo-Christian principles. And then the Pilgrim Charter in 1620 states that its purpose was to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. Before the pilgrims arrived on our shores and they gathered below the deck of the Mayflower, they signed the Mayflower Compact, which revealed their intent that it was for the glory of God. In fact, if you go there and you look on in Plymouth, they made it abundantly clear. They came to establish the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1632, when Maryland was chartered as a colony, they wrote, we are motivated by the pious zeal for the extending of the Christian religion. Our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, said, the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. In fact, on the last sentence of the Declaration of Independence signed 240 years ago, states for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance upon the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And then 8 days after signing the Declaration of Independence on the Liberty Bell was the quote from Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. God has truly blessed America because she was founded on the principles of the Word of God. And let me just say this. You can't change that. Now, the secularists might want to change that. They might want to rewrite history. But the fact remains that we were founded upon this word. We were founded upon Judeo-Christian beliefs. And Patrick Henry even said this, who was a founding father of the country. He said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religions, but upon the gospel of Christ. Amen. And I believe that with all my heart, that's why God has blessed America. And I feel privileged and honored to serve my country and praise God for those who have gone before us, who've sacrificed their lives for that fact. But is there hope for America? I'm disturbed of what I see in the political realm. And you know, when you think about this, we have an election coming up. And let me just say this. My hope is not based upon who's in the White House. Amen. Because I know who's on the throne. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say this. We need to be actively involved. We need to vote and we need to vote what is right and what's true. And sometimes that might be a little blurry and that might be a little difficult. But the bottom line is it matters not who's in the White House. It matters who's on the throne. And the one that's on the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we today as God's people, we serve a risen Savior. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because of Him that it doesn't matter what happens here on this earth. What matters is what happens for all eternity. And what matters is what we're doing and how we come together. And what difference are we going to make in this present generation for the cause of Christ? But as we come here and we look at America, is there hope? Because let me just say this. Our hope is not that the Republicans hold the White House or hold the Senate or hold the House of Representatives, because they're just as dysfunctional as the Democrats and both of them are bankrupt. And so it matters not for that. But our hope is in the God who helped establish America. And our hope is in those who have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And our only hope is right here in the pew. Our only hope is right here that's in the pulpits of America, as we preach and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is our only hope. But I fear that there's a problem with Christians today, that many Christians do not know because of generations of secular humanism, because of this postmodernism, this thought of there is no absolute truth. Let me just say this. Right here is the absolute truth. Right here is our only hope for America. And right here is where we find the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him, and is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of God's word that we can understand, and it's that we can know who God is and God's purpose and plan for our lives and for our nation. But what makes America great? It's not by the might of our military nor the political party that's in charge or the good that we do. But what makes America great is the people of God who stay true and walk by faith. Someone said, we don't serve because we hate what's in front of us, but we fight because we love what's behind us. What is it that's behind us? It's our God and our country and our flag and our loved ones. And why is it that we go out and fight? It's because of what's behind us, not in front of us. But there's three things I want to think about this morning as we come and we begin to think about our 240th birthday. And what is it that we here today, as God's people, what is it that we can do that will make a difference in this present generation? And there are three things I want to think about. Number one, we need to think war because there is a battle raging. But number two, we need to thank war because there's an enemy lurking. And number three, we need to thank war because there is a victory to be won. So let's look here at number one. There is a battle raging. I remember my first assignment when I arrived at the 82nd Airborne Division. I was a young lieutenant, green and wet behind the ears, and I got there. And one of the things that I remember as I got there at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, one of the elite divisions in all the world, the airborne. I was a rigger, and we packed up parachutes and we'd put them on our backs and we would jump out perfectly good airplanes. And that's what we did for a living. We'd be anywhere, wheels up, 18 hours, anywhere in the world. That is the mission of that division. Anywhere in the world, 18 hours, wheels up. That is what we were called to do. But I remember as a young 22-year-old lieutenant, as I walked up to that door of my headquarters, and I saw two words that were over the portals there. And as I looked, it said, "Think war." And I thought to myself, that's strange. I'm in the most elite military unit in all the Army, as the 82nd Airborne Division. Why would they say, "Think war"? That's a strange thing to me. I thought this is kind of a novel thought, but aren't we supposed to be thinking war? We're supposed to be anywhere, 18 hours, wheels up, anywhere in the world. Possibly we could be somewhere within 24 hours, anywhere in this world. Shouldn't we be thinking war? But what I found as I got in my unit, there was an apathy. There was an ignorance of what was truly going on around them, because we had came in, this was in the mid-80s, nothing really happened for over a decade, only maybe a small skirmish in Grenada, but other than that, we were experienced relative peace. But I found in this most elite unit, there was an apathy. There was somewhat of a falling asleep at the wheel, that there was this tendency to let the training to slip by, and now we'll just go through the motions. And as we go through the motions, besides, we haven't fought a war. We haven't really faced an enemy for over a decade. And besides, the enemy, the old Ivan there in Russia, the Soviet Union was beginning, the cracks were beginning to happen. Maybe about 5 years, 6 years later, the wall would come tumbling down. But what I found was interesting, and this is what I'm finding in America today, and this is what I'm finding in the pews today. There's an apathy across the board. There are people that we don't realize that we're in a battle, that we're in a war. And what bothers me that America is in a war, whether we want to acknowledge the enemy or not, but there is an enemy, and it's a terrorist, and it's a fundamental thought and philosophy that we are fighting. And if we don't want to define it, that's okay. But the enemy knows who the enemy is, and they have defined us. But what I find in the churches of across America, there's an apathy. And what I find is that, hey, that doesn't really affect us. It doesn't really affect me. Besides, I'm worried about my house and my car payment. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And things are going along nicely in America. Let me just say this. If you get a chance to even go anywhere outside of America, you'll soon realize that there's a war raging around all over this world. In fact, what I realized is when I got to the unit and I looked and I thought, think war, and I thought that was a strange concept. Why would they make me think that? Because I also realized that there was an apathy in my unit. Oh, there was a lack of training. There was a lack of really preparedness. And it wasn't until then all of a sudden things began to hit. And all of a sudden when we got there, we began to realize that we got to take a lot of exotic tours and vacations all over the world. As I stand here, I've been to probably about 30 countries, and vast majority of them been compliments of Uncle Sam himself. But as I got there, I began to realize that as we went, and
And we got there, and here we had been fighting that cold war of stopping communism and the Soviet Union. I began to find myself flying to Honduras to show a force against the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. And then after that, then it was my honeymoon that was cut short, that getting ready to jump into Panama. That my unit was canceled at the last minute, but had to cut the honeymoon short to get back to where I was going. But then soon after that, I realized I found myself in Saudi Arabia, in Iraq, during Desert Storm, fighting a dictator and holding him back and pushing him out of Kuwait. And then it goes on that as I spent that time and saw the things of what was going on there and the highway of death and bombs dropping on the enemy, I saw that then as I came back and went to Europe, I looked all around and I saw certain things there in Europe as I traveled from country to country and saw certain things. And there, as soon after we got there, that the wall came tumbling down, and there we saw the peace that a united Germany, which we never thought would have been possible. But then as we got there, I walked that same place where even just a few years before that people were being mowed down trying to find freedom as they crossed that wall from East Berlin to West. And then I had the privilege of walking the beaches of Normandy on the 50th anniversary of the World War II landings there. And then as I walked the fields of Flanders Fields in Belgium, and as we stopped at the cemetery of the World War I memorial for our soldiers there that are buried. And everywhere I'd go, I would try to find, there in Europe, I would try to find our military cemeteries. There's something about it. If you've never had a chance to go to a military cemetery, you need to take the time to do that. Because as you go there, and especially in Europe and World War I and II, as you go there, you'll find these headstones that say, "Here rest in honor, glory, known but to God." A lot of times as you look and you look at during that, I often wondered, here was a young man, maybe 18, 19 years old, would leave his family or maybe leave his wife and his children behind and go, and he would die on foreign soil and nobody knew what happened. Nobody knew. Only but to God were they known. And they were buried because of so many that would give their lives for our country, that would willingly lay down their lives and serve our country. And as you walk along and you see these crosses, and I mean they're in perfect alignment, and no matter what, nothing's out of place. And I praise the Lord that it's still like that, even after all those years. We need to think about what the sacrifice was, and because why? There was a battle raging. And everywhere you look, you think about the battles that rage. And then as I went there, I found myself in Yugoslavia after it broke up. And I found myself walking in Bosnia and Croatia as the war raged and as literally cities were being blocked off and people were being starved to death. Because they believed something different, or just because their name was different. In fact, as I drove through those cities and we would drop fruit from the skies just so that they could get by for another day and bring in the supplies to help others, I was taken back as I would go through some of these towns, and they were total ghost towns. You know the sad reality of it was? That whole town had been wiped out by genocide. You know, we live in a great place. We live in America where we don't have to be fearful that our neighbor is going to kill us the next day. We live in America where I don't have to get out and look under my car every morning to see if there's a car bomb waiting to blow up, because I might think differently than somebody else. And we live in America where we have and praise God for our police and our firemen and those that serve on a daily basis to keep us safe. Amen. Let me just say this. You need to thank them every day. When you see one, thank them. We're living in a time where now we look down and the world looks down with disdain upon them. and look down upon them as they're trying to cause trouble when they're only keeping it safe. Thank God for that. I praise the Lord I don't have to go out and look under my car anymore and see if there's a bomb. Because that's the reality that this world lives in. Because why? There is a battle that's raging. And this battle is this satanic battle. And this battle is where people want to kill others. Then I would find myself in Iraq, where Saddam Hussein would finally be taken down. I spent another year there. And I saw the evils of humanity, which on a daily basis would just boggle your mind on what this world has to go through and worrying about some bus bombing or IED or something coming in and blowing you up. And time again, I would witness this and it would just blow me away. But thank God that we don't have to worry about that in America. And thank God that we're safe. You know what? There's a war that's raging. And what we're finding is coming to America. Amen. It's coming to America. It has showed up. When we look in our cities, now all of a sudden we have terrorists that want to come and blow up people. Why? Because they were just there. They were just there. And this battle that we fight and this battle that we see as we go. And in Israel, I was just in Israel. And on a daily basis, Israel deals with that same enemy. And on a daily basis, they look and but you know what the difference between Israel and America is? Israel's prepared. And America is in apathy and we're looking around and we're not understanding that there's a battle to be fought. I was privileged to walk on the same battlefield that David walked and where he slew Goliath, amen. And then I was there at Armageddon, there in the Valley of Megiddo, that there I could see where the final battle will be fought and victory will be won. But there's a battle that's raging, and the reason we need to think war because of this battle. It's raging all around us. And because why? There's an enemy lurking. There's an enemy from without, and because we must think war, there's an enemy lurking that he is without. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And one thing that we need to realize is this. Hey, we might not be fighting a physical battle out there, but let me just mark this down. And you need to understand this. We're fighting a spiritual battle here on the home front. And the more I look around, the more I realize that this roaring lion, he wants to destroy our families and he wants to destroy our homes. And you know, there's a battle that's raging all around us. And you know, the thing about it is not only the battle from without, that we fight an enemy, Satan himself. You know what? There's a battle from within that we're losing here in America and here in the pews. And that battle is within the hearts. In fact, Paul or John says this in John chapter 2, First John chapter 2, verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of what? The world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we need to understand that there is a battle, and there's a battle that wages that every day that we fight. Let me just say this, if you're not fighting and if you're not aware of it, you're going to lose the battle. And you're going to lose it because why? The old flesh is going to take over. And on a daily basis, we need to be surrendering ourselves to the will of God. And as Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you renewing your mind on a daily basis? Are you keeping your eyes upon God? Do you fight the battle? Do you realize that not only that there is a battle that is raging, but there is an enemy that is lurking. He's lurking from without. We fight the devil, we fight the world, and we fight the old flesh. Are you winning that battle? Because I dare say the vast majority of Christians today are losing that battle. And we're not putting up our guards. We're not understanding that we need to guard our minds with the Word of God. And we must understand that the only victory that we can have is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Word. As we come here, as we look, He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. My question to you this morning, are you in the battle? Are you fighting the fight? Because there is a battle raging and an enemy lurking. And you know what? I just look around us and you know, we look at the streets of America and the mess that they are in. And we look at families that are literally being torn apart, and praise God for our policemen and our firemen and our paramedics and those that serve, because they're on the front lines. They're seeing what's happening in America. And we are getting torn at the very core of the fabric of America. And there's a battle for the soul of America. And it's being dismantled systematically. And the family is being dismantled to where we can't even understand what a family is nowadays. We live in America where now we redefine marriage, and we argue now over whether it's all right for a man to go in a women's bathroom. I'm saying, are you nuts? Are you crazy? What's going on with America that we would even be discussing this, and we would even considering this? But we live in America where marriage is no longer a sacred institution, where more people shack up than get married nowadays. We live in America where the family is systematically being dismantled, and we're losing the battle. We find absentee fathers. We find the destruction of our society, where murder rates are going bonkers. And in Indianapolis, it's almost on a daily basis that we'll hear 1, 2, 3. And it's not unusual where you find 3 or 4, maybe 5 people murdered on one night. And you know what we do? We just flip the channel like it's no big deal. What's going on? I mean, same thing up in here in Gary and Chicago, and the battles that's raging on in the cities. And you know what? I tell you what, the only hope for America is the Lord Jesus Christ. That people get saved, people get their lives right, and people understand that it's there here, that in the Word of God, that they can have true victory. Because there is a battle that's being fought. But let me just say this. With the drug epidemic and the violent crime and the terrorism in our cities, you know what? Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a victory to be won. Amen. And that only hope is in our Bible. That only hope is not in our political parties, not in morality in America, but it's in the power of the gospel. When Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you walking by faith this morning? Are you in the battle? Are you fighting it? Are you looking around, understanding that there is a battle raging, that there is an enemy lurking, and that, you know what? We have the victory because the victory is already won. But we must come, and we must understand that here that Paul, or as we come, as the Word of God gives us the requirements for victory. And he says this, if my people, which are called by my name, let me just say this, who are called by His name? Christians. Those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been called by His name. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe on Him? Have you accepted Him as the way, the truth, and the life? That the only way that you can have true victory over sin, the only way that you can have true victory in the battles that you fight on a daily basis, the battles that you might fight internally that might not anybody else know, the only victory that you can find is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here this morning within the sound of my voice that you've never fully accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're looking around and you're saying, where is the meaning in all of this? What is God's purpose and plan for my life? My dear friend, God's purpose and plan for your life is, first of all, that if you're called by, you must be called by His name. You must be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has won the victory. But we are called by his people, the church. But we must, he says, we must humble ourselves. When you think about what Isaiah said, and when he looked up and he saw what was going on, and it says that when Isaiah looked up and the year of King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. One on each had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and twain he covered his feet, and twain he did fly. And one cried to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, he said, Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And when Isaiah finally realized and he saw that he was unclean, and he was in a nation of unclean lips, and he realized that, hey, he saw the holiness of God. He humbled himself before God and he said, Lord, here am I. Send me. He realized the holiness of God and he realized that he must humble himself. And all, if we would just get a glimpse of who God is and get a glimpse of his holiness and realize that we are people of unclean lips, and we live in a midst of a land that is unclean and that has turned their back on God. And the only hope that we have, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you prayed for your nation? Have you prayed for the people who serve? Have you prayed that God would be magnified in America? That we could go and make a difference and an impact. But he says that we need to pray. And Paul said that we must pray without ceasing. But then we need to seek his face. My dear friend, are you seeking God's face? Are you in his word? Because let me just say this. Of all the onslaught of everything that's going against the church and against the family, our only hope rests right in here. That we seek God's face. And we seek him on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. When we get up in the morning, we rise up in the morning, that we seek him and say, oh God, there's a battle that's raging. There's an enemy that's lurking. And Lord, but I know the victory is already won and is won right here in your word. And Lord, may I give my life to you. And Lord, may I live my life that would bring honor and glory to your name. Because why? We must seek his face. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What is it Paul said? He said, the just shall live by faith. Three times he says that. My dear friends, when we realize that we are in a battle, when we realize that there is an enemy lurking, that we must realize that that victory is won only by what we do, and it's how we walk by faith. And that we understand it's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working and driving us and guiding us to where when we get out there on that bus route and we see those young kids that's never heard of the gospel, that's never once heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, only in vain and heard as a cuss word. But when we tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, who's there and out in the battlefield and out there, and as we snatch them out of the hands of God, out of the hands of Satan, and we snatch them out of there, out of the battlegrounds, and we pull them in and we tell them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That true victory comes through that. That they can have the eternal life. Because when we do that, and when we turn to righteousness and from our wicked ways, and we forsake sin, God says this. He says, then he'll hear from heaven. He will forgive us, and he will heal our land. Hey, dear Christian, are you in the Lord's army this morning? Are you fighting the battle? Are you waging the war and realizing that there is a battle that's being fought, and it's a battle that's being fought in our country, around this world, in our homes, and that there is an enemy who's lurking, to seeking to devour us? Because if we don't realize that, we're doomed. we're doomed. And we won't be ready for the battle. And I dare say there's an apathy in our pulpits. There's an apathy in our pews like never before. Why? Because we've been prosperous. It doesn't affect us, does it? Oh, we don't see that. You realize that in this world, 40 countries, this Bible is illegal? Do you realize that as we preach God's word and we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, if I did the same message today around this world in several different countries, they would come after to kill me. Do you realize that? Do you realize what we have in America? Hey, we don't have time to be apathetic. We don't have time to be asleep at the wheel. You know what we need to understand? When we walk in these doors and when we walk out these doors, we need to put think war. There's a warfare that's raging out there. And there's an enemy that's lurking. But praise God that that victory is already won through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you on his side? Are you fighting the battle? Or are you being apathetic about what's going on around us? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, let me just say this, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, my dear friends, are you in the battle? And are you seeking the Lord Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we praise you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you're not some God who's afar off and who doesn't and who's not concerned about what's going on. But Lord, you loved us enough to send your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. But Lord, as I look out in America, I see an apathy. I see those who are more consumed about themselves than their nation. Who's more consumed about what's on their Facebook or on the Instagram than what's really what's in the Word of God. I find an apathy in our pulpits, in our pews today, the Lord, that nobody seems to care. As America begins to slip away. No, Father, I pray for your people who are called by your name. Lord, that as we come to you, that we would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. That, Lord, that you would heal our land. Lord, there is a battle. You know it. I know it. And it's raging all around us. And there's an enemy who wants to destroy our families, who wants to destroy our church, who wants to destroy our nation. But praise be to God that there is the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, that the just shall live by faith. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we come, Lord, that as we begin to take inventory of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would do a work. Lord, as the invitation time is now open, Lord, may you be glorified. Lord, maybe there's someone out here that needs to volunteer. Someone that says, I want to make a difference for my nation. I might not serve in the military. I might not even serve in a servant's place in society, but I'm going to pray for my nation. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to humble myself before you. And Lord, I'm going to turn from my wicked ways that you might heal our land. Lord, I pray now as you bless in time of invitation, Lord, may it be you be glorified in all of these things. In Christ's precious name.